listeners. I'm Allie, and this is Quad Pro Quo. As always, I'm joined by my three co-hosts, Tammy.
Hello.
Matt.
Hello there.
And Guido.
Hi.
We are in week two of These Are Their Movies. Dun, dun.
For 26 seasons, the cast of Law & Order SVU has been divided into two separate but equally important groups. Celebrity guest stars that are already famous and guest actors that are not famous yet. These are their movies.
Dun, dun.
Nice. Excellent. But before we get to your pick, Matt, guys, how are we feeling about the prospect of our podcast room being a little bit more cash?
Oh,
I'm excited.
We are going to be getting a new couch in April. It's being made in North Carolina.
What?
Yeah.
That's for your living room, though.
It's custom. That's right? For our living room. So yeah. Those are coming in here.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So we will be much more like call her daddy with lounginess, all of that good stuff. How do we feel about that?
Well, do we switch into our sultry voices?
We could. We could switch be in an ASMR box.
So
we already wear our jammies over to your house. True. So
we could sound like Delilah.
Yeah,
hey Delilah. There, Delilah.
So I have to figure out how we're gonna, if it's gonna, like, one couch is gonna go this way or if they're gonna go this way. We have to figure it out. But I think it'll be nice.
I just want to sit next to my homie.
Oh, you guys are gonna sit next to each other?
Yeah.
I mean, well, we can sit wherever. It's fine. And then we have a
Shakiko gets the ottoman.
Great.
She can get my lap.
She gets the chaise.
Ew. She can sit in the corner where she belongs. Okay.
Whoa. Nobody.
Whoa, I thought this was going to be a more laissez-faire lounge thing.
Put Shakiko in the corner.
I thought we were going to be sitting in for peak comfort.
Yeah. We also have a steamer trunk downstairs, so I think we'd put that in the middle, like the coffee table.
Oh, yeah.
So then we can put the soundboard on it and everything like that.
Is Matt going to feel comfortable enough to take his shoes off?
Never.
Never. He never takes his shoes off.
I don't think he's got toes. You know
oh, no,
what I mean?
I've never seen him.
You've
like,
seen him?
It's yes. Like the witches. They don't have toes. But we'll have to figure out something for like the side tables, because if we want to continue using the arms, they're going to have to attach to something.
Coffee tables.
Or like, yeah, just like side tables. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You can just get like cheap ones or something like that.
Cover them in crosses and stuff like that.
Just, you know.
I bet you your mom could decoupage some crosses on it.
Well, Matt, tell us about your pick for These Are Their Movies.
My movie came out in 2011 with an estimated budget of $30 million, worldwide gross of just over $41 million, and a Rotten Tomatoes score of 71%.
That's better than I thought it was going to be.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that too, because this is a remake of a beloved cult horror classic.
It's junk food.
Well, the first one was true. Well,
I love the first one.
But I mean, the first one, I said...
It's one of my favorites.
I said to you before, because you know like how Vincent's always like trying to get to watch horror movies and wants to watch horror movies? I said
That one would be all right.
The original, like the 85 version, yeah. Little homoerotic, of course, but he's not going to pick up on that.
No.
But the burning of the blood sample, I think that would... He'd like that.
I think he could probably watch this one. I don't think this one's that bad.
There's a lot of blood.
This one's very graphic.
I know, but it's kind of
also
like
the British guy
graphic.
Says fuck a lot.
There is a lot of language. That's
but
right.
But then we can just say we can watch it on a Sunday and we'll be like, we'll pretend this is football Sunday, Vincent.
Yeah.
So no curses.
Hold on. She takes her shirt off. She straddles that little kid. You know what I mean? Well, he's a small man.
A small man.
Yeah, my movie. It's the 2011 remake of Fright Night.
Adam Johnson. Adam.
You know Adam's missing, right?
Right? Kids aren't coming to school. It happens all the time.
I don't know if you're paying attention to roll call, but he's not the only one that's gone.
You're nuts.
This is my son, Charlie, and his girlfriend.
Hi.
So Jerry is our new neighbor.
Hey. Hey. Now listen to me. We graphed up all the disappearances. That's you right there in the center next to his house. I really hate to be the one to tell you this, but that guy, your neighbor?
Jerry.
Yeah, he's a vampire.
That is a terrible vampire name. Jerry?
It was directed by Craig Gillespie. He's known for I, Tonya. It was written by Marty Noxon.
Why do I know that name?
She was one of the main writers of Buffy.
There we go.
And she was the showrunner behind the adaptation of last week's episode's author, Gillian Flynn's Sharp Objects.
Yes, Sharp Objects. That's where I know the name, too. Yeah.
And it, well, technically, like, partially written by Tom Holland, not Spider-Man. He's the guy that wrote the OG Fright Night.
The original Fright Night, yeah.
Child's Play. And he also wrote Thinner.
Ooh.
So
that's a good one.
Sure.
And
what's wrong with you people?
Yeah. Starring Colin Farrell.
Hot.
You may know him from American Outlaws.
My microphone's moist.
You also may know him
sitting on it.
You also may know him from the film epic Alexander.
Oh, okay, we're doing this.
And Daredevil.
And he's hot in Daredevil.
Can you please pick some movies he's been good in?
The Banshees of Inisherin, Minority Report.
Tammy, we've been doing, I love it. Tammy, we've been doing this for like 3 or 4 years now. You know,
what
I'm
was
always,
the one where I he do was the in bottom FBI. Barrels.
Killing of a Sacred Deer. Yeah.
Oh, you're thinking of
he
the
was
recruit.
Great in The Gentleman.
The Recruit was good. Was
SWAT. Yeah. Saw SWAT twice.
SWAT
in,
was good.
Twice in theaters. Miami Vice saw it twice in theaters.
SWAT.
I was there for LL Cool J.
SWAT was almost my choice of my three worst movies he was in. Thankfully, Daredevil exists.
SWAT is so good. I don't know what people are talking about.
I feel like it's The Recruit that I really like.
You're thinking of The Recruit, yeah.
Yeah. It also stars Quad Pro Quo alum and Gone Too Soon actor Anton Yelchin, RSVP. Yeah.
He got murdered by a Jeep.
He is also in Thoroughbreds and Green Room.
Are those his two worst?
No. I didn't do that to Anton Yelchin out of respect. I just went with movies that I knew.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because those movies are great.
He can respect...
Star Trek was great. Thoroughbreds was great. Green Room was great. I'm not going to do that. I won't besmirch the dead that way.
Nice. Okay. It's almost like he has a quarter of the catalog as everyone else.
Mm.
It also stars Toni Collette, who...
I love her.
Loved her in the great comedy Hereditary. Basic paint-by-numbers movie The Sixth Sense.
I always forget that that's her.
Remember when she shaved her head?
She weighs more. She has dark brown hair.
She's different. Yeah, she's different looking.
She was also in Shaft.
That was a good movie.
You forgot and, her best movie, In Her Shoes.
Well, no, I was going
to
bring that up.
Get to it, Matt.
I was going to bring that up in my next part of describing Toni Collette, because she was Guido's backup pick for I'd Fuck a Month.
Okay.
Yeah, but the lights would be off.
Off. And she better have those CGI teeth.
Toothy blood.
Yeah, she's so they're green. I'm telling you, they're green in real life.
No, I hate that scene.
Also starring Imogen Poots. That's a name.
I love
that
name.
That is her name.
Imogen Poots.
Imogen Poots. Like, she could have literally have picked any name as a stage name, but Imogen she went is, with Imogen Poots.
I love the name Imogen.
I'm imagining
that's
her
a,
in Boots right
a
now.
A major character in the Fourth Wing series.
Is it?
Yes.
It's a very old name, but it's coming back.
She was also in Green Room with Anton Yelchin, and she was in 28 Weeks Later.
And she is in the most recent remake of Black Christmas, which I haven't done for the pod yet, but I will do.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, feminist.
And legendary British TV actor David Tennant.
I really like that guy.
I don't know what he was in. Was he like some really influential person in British television history?
I think he's a Whoville
person. He was on Broadchurch.
Broadchurch.
A lot of the stuff he's been on recently has now turned out to be a little problematic because, you know, he was on Good Omens. Well, Terry Pratchett wrote that. We're going to say that from now on.
He does a lot of hosting now.
What's wrong with Good Omens?
Because of what's his name? Neil Gaiman.
But
no.
Not good. Real bad.
Real bad?
Real bad.
Oh, he got like
coming out of the woodwork.
Like capital Me Too'd.
It's just a lot of stuff. Oh, it's a man. Lot of stuff.
Well, it sucks.
But also, yeah, you know, all jokes aside, he was the 10th Doctor. Well, he was technically, he was the 10th and then the 11th and then recently the 14th Doctor on Doctor Who.
They regenerate.
Okay, thank you.
So, going around the room, had you seen my movie? What were your thoughts of my pick? Allie?
I had seen it. I think I saw it in the theater because of my Colin Farrell obsession. I love the original Fright Night. It's one of my favorite vampire movies. And I was excited to talk about this one because I really like this movie.
Tammy?
I had not seen it. I hadn't really thought about it until I started watching it and thought, man, we've done a lot of vampire movies over the last 6 months. Three out of the 5 months, we've done a vampire movie. And I'm not upset about it.
Oh, yeah, we have done quite a bit.
Yeah, we were talking about that on Sunday. You're like, we've done that every month. And then we sat there and did the numbers and we're like, no, it's just been three.
Yeah, it's been like
it just
three
seems
out of the
like
five.
A lot. Yeah.
But.
Okay, Guido?
I haven't seen it, no.
Short and sweet.
I haven't seen it. I like vampire movies. I was like, yeah, okay, sign me up. Let's watch it.
Blood?
Let's watch it.
Sure.
Okay, because yes. So how I wrote this down now.
Horse face? No.
I didn't know that bitch was in it until I started watching it.
So now I'm going to segue into the reason why I picked this movie. I'm going to go into my SVU episode, which was from season 8. It's episode 9, titled Choreograph. Currently working solo. Detective Elliot Stabler is called to investigate a supposed drugging slash rape slash murder in Central Park. Just as he's about to continue his investigation, he finds out he has a new partner. It's Detective Olivia Benson.
She's back.
She's back from her undercover work.
Slash being pregnant.
Also known as maternity leave.
Yeah.
Which also, Allie didn't bring this up last week.
I forgot to talk about her hair.
She didn't have the bob sort of thing. She had her hair with a ponytail in the back. She was looking good.
She does look good. Her hair has been a journey in 26 seasons of SVU.
A hair journey?
Well, it's a lot.
Dude, it is a lot. Trust me.
It goes from like super short pixie, and then when you're growing that shit out, there is always going to be an awkward stage. I don't care how good of a hairdresser you are. Heather's been watching it. And she texts me. She's like, ugh, it's in this horrible Florence Henderson mullet phase right now, Allison. I was like, I know, dude. Like, it's not fun.
It's so true.
Sometimes it's terrible.
We can't all go like Ice-T and have the back braided thing.
Oh yeah,
and
he has like just, a braided ponytail. And then just
short, almost shaved fade buzz cut. We can't all do that.
Yeah, no. It's tough.
So together again, they investigate this tragic murder by starting with the victim's husband, semi-renowned choreographer Wesley Masoner, who is my pick, played by Chris Sarandon. You may know him from the original Fright Night. You may know him from The Princess Bride as Prince Humperdinck, or you may know him as the non-singing voice of Jack Skellington from Nightmare Before Christmas. By this point in SVU, we're used to the trope that the famous person is always the suspect, and if there is a bigger famous person, they are later revealed to be the actual culprit, and in this case, it's Bob Saget.
RSVP.
Stabler and Benson.
No way.
Yeah, he is in the episode.
Cut it out.
Stabler and Benson get their guy, and D.A. Cabot, one of my favorite ADAs.
The blonde?
No, or
it's not Cabot, then. You mean Casey?
Yeah, it was Casey. It was Casey.
She's no Rosie
Casey
O'Donnell.
Casey Novak is the redhead. Alexander Cabot is the blonde.
Puts him away, only to get him out a day later so he could donate part of his liver to his soon-to-be ex-wife, who is having an affair with Sarandon, which put this all into motion.
This episode is a wild ride.
Leading to his wife, which led to Sarandon's wife's murder.
Bob Saget also implants his cheating wife with like a RSD chip.
He literally lowjacks her by implanting a tracker into her shoulder, which then gives her sepsis and causes her liver to fail. Yeah. And the only person who is a donor match is her attempted murdering husband.
It's a wild ride. It's a great episode.
So she's a flight risk?
Well, she didn't do it.
Yeah, the wife didn't do it. She's a victim here.
She is a victim. But she did cheat on him, so he, you know, killed her.
Like Gone
tried
Girl
to kill her. It's
again?
Reverse Gone Girl, actually, because he's the murderer.
Okay, well, you know, bad guy, bad. Yeah. All right? Bad lady, bad.
Because originally, I wanted to do the episode with Robin Williams, but I just knew that that would cause one of our super fans so much turmoil had I had sat here and talked about Robin Williams for an hour and a half.
I love Robin Williams.
I mean, we
and
all
I'm
do.
I'm the one that is going to be involved in the conversation.
We all do.
You can do Good Will Hunting?
No, I was going to do...
Wet Dreams May Come?
I was going to do Insomnia.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
I'm
do
so
the unfunny
glad you
movie.
Didn't do it.
The reason why I picked this version of Fright Night, not the original, because like any great defense attorney in my episode, the great Bernadette Peters, who you know from The Jerk, she found this slim loophole that got Chris Sarandon, got him out on not even bail. So I'm just like, you know what? Just like any great defense attorney, I could say, well, because of this, I can pick this movie. He's in it. He's a character. And he was on SVU and adhered to the rules. So I'm good.
You're getting by the skin of your teeth in this one.
But you know what? It works.
He says like one line in the movie.
He says three lines.
Sorry.
In this one, he is just a guy who rear-ends a car, says three things, and then gets mauled by the new vampire. And then funny,
he's the guy they get into an accident with on the
your SVU guy is in this movie for less than 30 seconds.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It technically counts.
It's legally thin, dude.
Okay.
It works.
It does work. It's fine.
These are their movies. Fun fact, Chris Sarandon's character in this film is named J.D., which is a subtle reference to his original name in the original film, Jerry Dandridge. That's also Colin Farrell's.
His name's Jerry, yeah, because they make fun of, like, no vampire's named Jerry.
Yeah. And then, you know, another fun fact about, apparently there were a lot of subtle references in Peter Vincent's Vegas penthouse.
Yeah.
Like, apparently there were etchings all over the walls in Gallifreyan.
Oh. That's where Doctor Who's from.
He's from Gallifrey.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, that's common knowledge, really.
You guys just wait until November.
It was a table at our wedding.
It was.
Gallifrey.
All right. So this movie
you know what was a table at our wedding?
What?
Number three.
This movie takes place in Las Vegas, well, in a suburb of Las Vegas, a subdivision outside of Las Vegas. We meet our character, Charlie Brewster, that's his name, Anton Yelchin. He's just this average kid who, you know, he's in high school. He's trying to get his dirt bike to start because he can use that to drive to school.
He's a nerd.
Well, he was a nerd.
Reformed nerd. Now he's kind of popular.
He's still a nerd.
So he's touched grass?
He went outside.
He's trying.
He was sponsored by a very pretty young lady.
He went outside, he touched grass, and now he's not a virgin anymore. Well,
he's still a virgin. Bag of sand.
I'm half a virgin.
His girlfriend, Amy, who's played by Imogen Poots, comes to pick him up in her lime green
Volkswagen Beetle. This movie is so 2000.
It's super cute.
The music. So 2000. At one point, she's wearing a dress over jeans, which was just amazing, and like a little shrug.
When I came back to thinking about this movie and picking it, I was like, yeah, it's something for everybody. It has David Tennant for me. It has Colin Farrell for you too. Even has something for Guido. And no, I'm not going to do the low-hanging fruit saying he likes Toni Collette.
He's got nice boobies in this movie.
Charlie is an avid sneaker collector.
Oh, that's right. He does have the sneaks.
They're puce.
I thought you were going to say the stripper neighbor with the big tits.
Yeah, me too.
Well, those too. I mean,
or the assistant, because she's Spanish.
I would try to beat the 13-hour record of Titty Suckfest.
Ew.
While wearing the puce sneakers?
While wearing the puce sneakers.
But, I mean, before we're introduced to Charlie and his mom and Amy, there's, like, in this little suburban, like, subdivision, it's at night, and it's this random kid who's in his house, and he's, like, running from something in his own house in the dark, and he's seeing, like, his family getting mauled and mutilated.
That part's for me.
Obviously, it's a fucking vampire. This movie drastically goes from the original, because the original was the whole, like, oh, well, is he? I don't know. Is he a vampire? He might be a vampire, but because we already know.
It's definitely a mauler.
Because we already know that this, you know, this is a remake, so they just went, fuck it. He's totally a vampire from the beginning.
Yeah.
And just,
I appreciate
that. Oh, so it's a reimagining.
Yeah, it's a modern retelling. It just went from 0 to 60. Charlie is a reformed nerd, and now he's popular. He has, like, two friends. One's Dave Franco.
Yeah.
And the other one's the
dude from Modern Family.
His old friend.
McLovin.
Yeah, McLovin.
McLovin.
Christopher
Mintz Plasse.
Plasse, whatever. Yeah, he's fucking McLovin. I don't need to say
what. Much to his chagrin, he will always be known as McLovin.
Well, nah, it could be worse. True.
He could be known as one of the nice guys in Promising Young Woman. So
he is in that movie too. That's right.
He's also a quad pro quo alum.
Yep.
Did he play the promising young man?
In Role Models.
Oh, that's right. Charlie's mom, Toni Collette, she's a real estate agent, and apparently the subdivision, everybody's moving out. She's trying to sell all the shit. Their next door neighbor is doing some sort of, like, construction and has a huge fucking dumpster sitting in the front of the house. She's pissed off about it because it's an eyesore. She meets the neighbor, who is...
Jerry. Sorry.
Who? Played by none other than our Colin Farrell.
Oh,
God. I can't take you seriously when you say Jerry like that.
Jerry. Sends a quiver down my channel.
It does.
Canal. Right.
And
Jesus.
He's sitting there. He's helping out doing some yard work. And she's just sitting there talking to him because, you know, he's just wearing a wife beater and he's all sweaty.
Yeah.
It's so hot in Nevada.
So hot.
Amy and Charlie get out of the car and they walk over and they're talking.
So the sun has set.
Yeah.
But it has not, it is not dark.
No, there, it doesn't matter. There's a thunderstorm. That's how she got hit in the cunt with her lightning
bolt. Direct sunlight. Like, as long as the sun's down, it's fine.
Yeah, it's it's cloudy. It's
really light out.
Yeah.
For my liking.
So they're sitting there and they're talking and, you know, just screaming, vampire, vampire, vampire.
It is?
Well, kind of.
It was a billboard.
Like we're getting that. And meanwhile, you know, McLovin is trying to get Charlie to believe that there is a vampire in the neighborhood. He thinks it's the neighbor.
Jerry.
People from school are disappearing.
Listen, it's a real plausible argument. I would believe McLovin. Personally, I would believe
him. Dude, Vegas is full of freaks, so...
Matt, if you came over to my place and you gave me the same fucking spiel, I'd be like, yeah, absolutely. Let's sharpen some sticks.
I think that about the house next to yours.
Yeah?
With the truck.
Oh, yeah. He's out before the sun comes up, and he's back when the sun goes down. That man is a vampire.
Stop pointing these creepy things out to me.
I have never seen him in daylight.
Damn it.
I've seen the other folks.
Next to a vampire.
They're his Renfields.
Yeah, they're his Renfields. Yeah,
that explains the influx of bats.
Is he gone before you leave?
No. Usually sometimes we'll leave around the same time.
But it's dark.
But yeah, it's before light out, yeah.
Because when I left last Tuesday, his truck was being warmed up.
And it's every day.
Yeah, he works 7 days a week.
He does, yeah.
As Tammy said, like, people are disappearing from school. Charlie was just like, dude, it's fucking high school. Of course, people are just blowing off class. McLovin is like, no, I think they're being eaten by a vampire. And if you don't help me investigate this, I'm going to expose you by showing off the nerdy YouTube video as we used to do.
Do you get eaten by a vampire?
No, you get drained.
Great, okay. Is it like eating a girl out? Is using eat differently?
You know the answer to that. It is not.
Are you using teeth?
You're sucking on their neck.
I mean, well, you're not eating it.
Come on.
We're just misusing the term eaten now.
Say it like that to be dirty.
Yeah, Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry.
Stop saying Jerry like that.
So they go and investigate their other missing friend Adam's house. Lovin is explaining all the vampire stuff and how he got all the information from a website. You know, renowned magician/occult expert Peter Vincent's website. They fight and they leave. And McLovin, he goes one way. He gets accosted by Dave Franco. And then Jerry attacks him. At first, you know, McLovin's like, oh, you can't come inside because, you know.
You have to be asked.
Yeah, because it still has that old trope, that old vampire trope. They need permission to enter the house. But to which then.
One of my favorites.
To which then Colin Farrell just walks in and is just like, nobody lives here. Don't need an invitation.
It's abandoned.
And I love how he flaunts the rules.
Yeah.
Oh, you know?
Man. And then he.
Sorry.
And then, you know, he just munches on McLovin.
Yes.
See, that's better.
Munches?
Yeah, it is. You're right.
And it's very SVU, too, because of Munch.
Because of Munch.
So the next day, Charlie notices that Ez is missing as well, and a whole bunch of other students, so he's finally catching on. Charlie gets home that night. Charlie is surprised by Jerry, who wants to know if he can get, if he could, like, bum a six-pack of beer because he's got a hot date coming over.
This might be my favorite scene in the whole movie.
This is different from vampire lore because he actually eats food and drinks, which vampires don't normally do.
Well, he can't taste it.
No, but normally, like, they don't do it because they don't need to. The fact that there's the one scene where he eats an apple and it's like, no one's watching him. Why is he eating an apple? Because he doesn't need to.
Fun fact, that is actually an homage again to the original, because in the original, Chris Sarandon had this idea that the vampire is also like delineated from the bat that it is.
Fruit bats.
So like Jerry Dandridge was saying that his vampire was from a fruit bat. So that's why he was always eating an apple in the original one.
Oh.
That makes so much sense.
It's
fuck off.
No.
So I highly doubt that Brad Pitt didn't eat anything in Interview with the Vampire.
He doesn't.
Nothing. Every other movie he eats something.
Not when he's a vampire.
It was only a bowl of dicks.
He was munching on
But he's not a vampire the whole movie. Just in the beginning he's still human and he comes back.
He was munching on Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah, he does eat Kirsten.
Kirsten's Dunst?
Yeah, 14-year-old. Or younger.
I think she's 12 in that movie, yeah.
Yeah, she hasn't quite hit puberty yet.
Great, thank you for pointing that out.
That's why you're not supposed to turn a child.
So yeah, so Jerry's like, yeah, man, I got a date coming over. Do you mind if I get a six-pack from you? Jerry's just standing there at the back door. He doesn't come in.
Oh, one arm up.
He wants to come in, and like at one point, Charlie drops a beer. He was like, oh, I can help you with that. He's like, no, I got it. Because like Charlie's kind of like, why isn't he just walking in? You you know?
And I think like he now suspects him fully.
Yeah.
I also like when he's standing at the door, he's almost like, it's like the hesitation, like his nose can't even cross the threshold because he moves forward at one point and then just quickly backs away, almost like the smell repels him kind of or
and
something.
He's doing
when he hands the
sixer. Doing scene work.
He's doing a really good job of like acting like a predator. Like he's a, like he has and, a predatory instinct.
Yeah.
Fun fact, Colin Farrell expressed concern that his character was too much of a sexual predator in this film and suggested some script changes.
Don't care.
It's a vampire.
Vampires are inherently sexual.
No, it's not like he's sniffing dildos.
No changes were made, by the way.
Good.
Okay.
Oh, another fun fact. Anybody want to guess who was originally in line to play Jerry the Vampire?
Kevin Spacey.
Ew.
No.
Give me a hint.
Older or younger?
Well, it came out in 2011.
2011.
Willem Dafoe.
It was, this movie was in pre-production before that. So, but unfortunately, this actor died before he could have.
Heath Ledger.
Yes.
Aww.
Ooh, he would have been good though too, because he's charismatic like Colin Farrell is.
Yeah.
Charisma.
So then the date comes over to Jerry's house.
Jerry.
And it's Doris. The big tittied stripper neighbor with what was written on her ass, Guido? You remember.
Was it yum?
It was juicy, probably.
It was juicy.
Most likely juicy.
Juicy.
It's juicy. 2011, so Juicy Couture tracksuits were.
Yeah, the date's happening, and Charlie's upstairs, and he's witnessing it, but he's also blowing off Amy, who is in the bedroom DTF.
Yeah, she's in heat.
She says she wants to. Yeah, and he's just like, he's all about it, but then all of a sudden, something happening out there.
Really? Here? Now?
Charlie keeps listening, and what's going on at Jerry's, and he hears a scream. He calls the police, and then the police come, and Jerry. He just charms the pants off of the police.
That's his power.
Like, he's just like, hell yeah, you know, I made her scream, am I right, boys?
Yeah.
If I'm doing my job right, she's squealing.
They bond over his sexcapades in a boys will be boys way. Charlie's disgusted, and as soon as the cops leave, Jerry also gets in his pickup and drives away. To which then Charlie decides he's going to break into Jerry's house. So yeah, Charlie, he learns how to pick locks from a video on YouTube while he's sitting at the back door trying to pick the lock. He gets into the house and he's just walking around. He notices all the windows are blacked out. There's not a lot of furniture. He goes upstairs into the bedroom. And in the closet, there's a false panel. He opens it and they're like these rooms, like these little closets, these
prison cells.
Changing rooms from Target.
And he goes to the one, boom. A hand pops up into the peephole. It's Doris. She's being held hostage in there.
Do they deliberately name these people terrible names? Doris the stripper, Jerry the vampire.
Well, I don't think she goes by the stripper to anyone else.
But do you think on stage they're like, everyone, welcome to the main stage, Doris?
Actually, no. It turns out
you're right. They call her Horace.
No, her stage name is Spock.
Spock?
Like Dennis Spock.
Amanda.
He's up there and he discovers Doris, and just as he discovers Doris, Jerry comes back. So he goes and hides in another one of these little sex closets while Jerry comes back in and feasts on Doris.
Poor right Doris.
He watches the whole thing.
And she's like, don't. She mouths like, stay there. I've got this under control.
Don't worry about it. Being a vampire and a stripper, that's like a great, you're close to men. You can suck their blood. You're working at night in a very dark club. I mean,
she can move to Mexico.
Yeah, and work at the Titty Twister.
She can work whenever she wants because you know there's no natural light getting into a strip club.
I know, but she has to get from her car to the strip club.
So after Jerry has his fill, he goes back downstairs, and Allie, what is Jerry watching?
Oh, he's watching The Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Teresa.
Oh my God. He walks down the stairs and I heard it and I was like, he's watching The Real Housewives of New Jersey because I heard Caroline Manzo go, you mess with my family, you mess with me. Yes. And then they showed it on the screen and I was like, I knew it. Real Housewives. I could hear it from a mile away.
To which then Charlie gets the idea he's going to try and break out Doris and goes back downstairs. I honestly think, like we were talking about when we were watching it, I honestly think that Jerry was fucking with them.
Yeah.
Like, apparently he has this smell where he has a sense of smell where he can tell when Toni Collette is, you know,
down for some dick.
Down
yeah.
for some dick. And Amy is down for Charlie Dick.
No, he left so that he would come over so that he would see. He's playing with his food. That's exactly what he does.
Absolutely. And he knew exactly what was going to happen when she went outside. Like,
he smiled.
He knew what was going on. Maybe that's why he ate a fucking apple.
Yeah, he was,
They're like, yeah, I'm...
It was an,
see, I'm still human.
It was an aperitif.
He needed aperitif?
A palate cleanser. So then, you know, he and Doris do get outside. But what happens is, as soon as he's dragging Doris, as soon as she gets out into direct sunlight, boom!
Burst
into flames. Instant shish kebab.
Poor Doris.
Yeah. RSVP Horace the stripper.
Aww. Las Vegas sun will kill you. I can't believe I didn't get burned.
You get it? So she's used to sucking, either. But somebody sucked her in the end.
I was diligent.
It's very ironic.
What, every 10 minutes?
Every 10 minutes, and I stayed in the one part of the pool that had shade. When we went to the pool every day, we went to that spot immediately, and we did not move. We stayed in the pool all day.
We camped right at that spot, yes.
In the spot that always had shade, a shade That's overhang. So funny. This one got burned in the last day, and so did John.
You didn't apply.
Heather wore her big hat, so she was fine.
So now Charlie knows that he's dealing with a vampire.
Like, for sure.
No, for sure. No doubt about it. So he does all the vampire tropes. He puts crosses all over the house. He puts garlic all over the house. He insists that Toni Collette does not invite Jerry into the house.
Jerry the vampire.
He leaves for school, and on the way, he stops over at Ed's house because Ed is now missing too. You meet Ed's parents, who's played by that guy that I was shocked hasn't been on SVU.
Oh, he probably has.
And also, his mom is played by
Lisa Loeb.
And she did.
I do.
What? Yeah, how did that song go?
No, she did the You Say.
I only hear what I want to. Man, I forgot. She opened the door. I was like, Lisa Loeb? What?
Yeah, she was weird.
She was just like, yeah, Ed must have left early. He was.
Weirdly, here. They looked like they would be McLovin's parents. Both the mom and the dad did kind of look like they would have produced a McLovin.
He went up to Ed's room. He found more footage that proves that, you know, Jerry, the vampire,
is a vampire.
Like, he actually recorded footage of Jerry, the vampire, going around and driving around, or even like dumping stuff with a wheelbarrow, but on the camera you just see the wheelbarrow.
He
doesn't show up on film because he's a vampire.
No reflection.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's also, like, following the Peter Vincent guy.
Yes,
to a T.
That was the next step. He was an avid follower of magician/occult expert Peter Vincent. And Charlie decides he's going to go visit Peter Vincent and try and get his help.
How convenient to kill this
vampire.
Is it that he has a Vegas show?
Oh, he's a magician. Where else are they doing things?
Yes. I mean...
Cruise ships?
Yeah, just to build this up, like, again, the stark difference from the original film, where this character was played by...
Roddy McDowall,
who was just, like, your classic horror movie guy who did, like, late night... Which was Fright Night, you know.
It was like an Elvira Mistress of the Dark, but he was like a Van Helsing type character who had a late night TV show that talked about like vampires and stuff.
He's big on black leather pants and no shirt.
So in this modern update, he is now like an occultist magician, like
Chris Angel.
Exactly, yes, like Chris Angel.
Mind free.
Yes. But his name is Peter Vincent, which is an homage to Peter Cushing and Vincent Price.
Yep, definitely.
Horror legends. Charlie fakes this story that he's a newspaper reporter and wants to talk to Peter Vincent about vampires. And Peter Vincent like humors him a little bit. But then once Charlie gets a little too serious, he's like, yeah, you're a fucking whack job.
Yeah.
Ginger!
I love how gorgeous.
Yes, Ginger is his...
Assistant slash girlfriend.
Fuck buddy.
I love how he just drinks absinthe. Or it's not even. It's like creme de menthe.
No, you
Or pear liqueur.
No, you kept saying it. It was like an M. It starts with an M.
Oh, Malort.
Midori. It's Midori.
Oh, God, no. It was not Malort.
There was not a Malort?
No.
If it was Malort, then one of... Because like this was made in 2011. Because that was when 3D stuff in movies was really big. If he was drinking straight up Malort, the 3D shots we would have had was just him puking.
Yeah, it's so gross.
So, you know, Peter Vincent kicks him out and he goes back home. And unfortunately, Jerry has decided enough is enough. He's trying to get into the house. He's like, look, Toni Collette, your son, he's fucking crazy. He thinks I'm a vampire or some stupid shit. He broke into my house. We need to call the cops.
Are the people, I just thought of this, in the neighborhood moving or is he just killing them?
He's killing
them. He's
him.
Eating all of
them. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, I said eating.
McLovin said it. This is like fucking Jaws and he's the shark. He's not going to stop eating until everything is gone.
Okay.
So
Doris was next.
Charlie still gets Toni Collette not to let him into the house.
Please, Mom, believe me. I'm a good boy.
You gotta believe me. No, no, do not let him in. Don't. And then she's just like, yeah, fuck off. Call the cops. Bring the cops in. So what does Jerry do? He goes out back and uses his vampire strength. He starts digging a ditch. Just vroom,
vroom, vroom, vroom. Wait, what was that again?
Yeah, how'd that go? Okay. Vroom, vroom. Oh, it sounds like he's digging.
They're like, what is he doing? What is he? What the fuck? And he grabs the gas line, cuts into it with a saw, and then, yeah, he cuts the gas line, he lights it, and it ruptures and blows up the house. Luckily, Charlie, Amy, and Toni Collette get into her mom van, and they drive off, and now Jerry chases after them in his Dodge pickup. I didn't look into the specific cars.
Kurt Russell movie.
Oh, Breakdown?
Yeah.
Sick.
So good.
So they're chasing him, and then Jerry wrecks into them. He wrecks into them again. He then pulls out in front of them, and Charlie tells Toni Collette to just gas it and ram into him. And Jerry is under the van now, and he's ripping up through the floor of the car. They think they get rid of him again, but then they get rear-ended by my character, JD, Chris Sarandon, from the original. And he's like, what are you doing out here? You don't have any taillights, and you're just sitting in the middle of the road? And then out of nowhere, we see Jerry in full vampire form. And he does actually look more like a shark than like a traditional vampire if you...
Yeah, I don't like the look of when he turns into a vampire.
Like, it looks like a fucking Klingon.
It looks cheap.
There you go, John.
And Amy's in the car too at this point.
Yeah, there.
It looks like Van Helsing. It looks like Van Helsing. Like, it looks cheap.
Well, yeah, like it's like it didn't have the traditional like just straight up fangs and looked just like a bunch of multiple.
No,
teeth.
But like his face, like his mouth gets like bigger. Like, I don't know. I don't like the way that they did that. That's the only thing I don't like.
Disjointed jaw.
It just looks very. It looks very like CGI, but like not good CGI.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was
2011.
I know. Yeah. So just at that point, just do makeup and just have him look like a vampire without like this weird mouth.
Jerry mauls JD and RSVP JD. There went my character for SVU month.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just about to start. Well, Charlie confronts him with a cross, and Jerry comes over and he's like, oh no, the cross. Oh, and then he grabs it. It catches fire, but he's like, yeah, you don't believe in this shit anyway, and just breaks it and throws it. And then he throws Charlie on the ground. He's just about to eat him. And then Toni Collette, like a good mom, comes out of nowhere and stakes him with one of her real estate signs.
Good thing she's a realtor.
Yeah, but she's a really bad aim.
And then he just starts freaking out, just flailing all over the place. They get into JD's car. Well, no, because, yeah, no, Toni Collette gets bumped in the head, too, because they have to take her to the hospital in JD's car. Right. They take her to the hospital. They deck it all out with crosses, and they're like, nobody can come in without...
Mom's real religious.
Yeah. And then they decide to go to Peter Vincent's apartment. You're the only person we know that can actually help us. So they go up there. Well, no, Peter Vincent called them and says, I can help you, because Charlie did show him some pictures of what he took from Jerry's house, and apparently
the deity like scroll in the corner.
Yeah,
and apparently that's like,
and the statue in the
he's like, this is some serious vampire shit. You're telling the truth.
Not only I know about this vampire
because I encountered this type of vampire
when I was a child.
He's definitely not from a long line of fruit bats.
They're shark bats. So they're sitting up there.
Good thing I have my shark bat repellent.
They're sitting up there and they're talking. He gets a phone call that there's a delivery driver here to deliver him something, to send him something. He's like, oh yeah, come on up. And they're like, wait, what? And he's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, I drunkenly order shit on eBay all the time. So they like, but did they ever deliver this late? And he's like, yeah.
If there was ever a time for
poor Ginger.
Yes, because it turns out the delivery driver is actually Ed. It's McLovin.
Bum, bum,
oh, that's
bum.
Right.
In vampire form. He unfortunately murders Ginger. So goodbye, Ginger, with that sweet ass.
I know, that dump truck died.
She was very pretty.
She was so pretty.
And her mouth was dirty.
And now it's just fucking McLovin jumping all nimbly bimbly from tree to tree.
All she wanted to do was watch her stories and all... Peter Vincent said, and all Peter Vincent said was, you're TiVoing it, you fat cow!
Yeah, all she wanted to do was watch TV and have sex.
She just wanted to get plowed for more than a minute.
Now that there's a vampire in the penthouse, Peter Vincent, you think he's going to be all like, yeah, I'm going to fight this. He's like, no! And runs into...
You think all those nose beers would give him some courage.
Panic room.
He runs, yeah.
That cuts off McLovin's arm.
He does a total 180 from his... character on Doctor Who, and he just runs into the panic room and hides.
Well, he's traumatized.
He's got PTSD.
To which then also McLovin gets a phone call from Jerry, the vampire.
They use phones.
Yeah, they use.
They're not Amish.
No big deal.
Right, Tammy?
No, they are not.
Okay.
If they were
an Amish vampire?
Could you imagine?
They'd be doomed.
Yeah, because they have to work all day.
I feel like it's dark for them all the time.
But they're very involved in their faith.
I feel like that would be a
great... Okay, so they got crosses on hand.
Mm-hmm. This would be a great A24 movie, the Amish vampire.
Oh, man.
And the garlic Benoit balls.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't go to see A24 movies anyway. That's
very true.
So now there's a crazy showdown in the penthouse between Charlie and Ed. They practically recreate their YouTube fight videos where they were dressed up as like weird superhero characters. And
this reminds me of those videos your mom showed us of you and Taylor and your cousins like play acting or pretend. I don't remember what you guys were doing.
Yeah, please describe what happened.
What?
Were you singing?
What videos? What embarrassing what child videos did you see of your husband?
This is like your parents lived in the old house, and I don't remember what this was, but like your mom wanted to watch these videos, or it was when Taylor was dating you know who?
Ah, Satan.
Voldemort.
Ah, Satan. And you put on these home movies because your mom wanted to see you with like your grandfather, and then that turned into like these videos of you and Taylor and Josh and Seth, like, and Jimmy, I feel like, is in a few of them.
No, that was all
it's Seth, Taylor, and Jimmy, and they're doing like Law and Order episodes. They were doing
CSI,
yes, that's what it was. They're doing like CSI recreations on these
videos.
I
was probably over at the big, at that time, I was probably, we were all at the Big Yellow House getting tanked.
You were getting tanked in freshman year?
Yeah.
Freshman year of college, yeah.
At the Big Yellow House?
Freshman, sophomore year, yeah.
That's what that place was for.
That's what we did. So, yeah, so Jerry is also up there now. Amy tries to shoot him with a revolver, to which he just sits there and goes, werewolves.
Silver. Silver's for werewolves.
But then she throws holy water on him and causes him to freak out and jump all over the place again like
he didn't like that
earlier. And she runs away. She runs away with Charlie. They go down into like a nightclub, to which then they get separated by the crowd because also people are, you know, throwing the 3D things at you. There was a t-shirt cannon that jumps out at you, and Jerry the vampire gets Amy.
He gets her
because he turns her.
He finally uses the glamour ring, which I feel like I don't know why vampires don't rely on that more.
He makes out with her neck a little bit.
I am so jealous.
And the bouncer's like, they're just next
to you. Seems like she's really into it.
What are you talking about? He penetrated her on the dance floor.
Good. Was it a murder on the dance floor?
At what point are you dead? You're undead.
Well, you see, she teleported, so she died, and then she reappeared as a vampire.
Yeah, this is that vampire lore that I'm not not a huge fan of it, where it's like, it's almost like it's a disease. And so she was infected by the head vampire, and then if you kill the head vampire...
Every movie's got different vampire rules.
I know, and it's just not one of my favorite lores, is that, like, they're not really dead, they're just infected. Yeah, I don't really like
she's
that.
She's not dead, she just has... herpes.
Yeah, vampire herpes.
So he eats her.
And then he eats her.
Charlie goes to Peter Vincent and is like, yeah, you're a pussy. I can't get help from you. Because all Peter Vincent says is like, all you gotta do is you gotta just believe. Run. No, you just gotta fucking run. That's what I did. Well, you know, my dad ran. I don't want to be an asshole like him. So what does he do? He has a montage where he goes to an army surplus store, buys some boots, crossbow, and like some sort of suit. Because also Peter Vincent does give him, he gives him this stake where he's like, this is, it was blessed by Saint Michael. If you stab the head vampire with this, it should save, it should cure all the victims.
It unturns the turn, who are interned.
Are they turned too?
They're turned.
Turned down for what?
It's Vegas, so everyone's turned.
They are in a club.
But now Charlie goes back to the house because his house is still smoldering. He goes to Jerry's house. He busts open all the windows and he finds Amy in the sex closet. A trap door gets sprung and she drops down. He's about to jump down, but who's there? Peter Vincent.
Oh, I was going to say Jerry.
Peter Vincent shows up and decides, he's like, well, if you get me drunk, I'll do just about anything. So they both jump down to the basement, and then Jerry confronts Peter Vincent. He's like, ah, oh, you've grown. Good to see you. You have your mother's
eyes. Growing right now.
You have your mother's eyes and your father's aim. Welcome to Fright Night.
Yeah, title of the movie.
He said it so right there.
They're sitting there and they're fighting all these vampires because, like, basically we find out where all that concrete came from in the beginning of the movie. Jerry was literally digging up the entire basement, the foundation of the house, and was just having a bunch of dirt there because I guess his type of coven, vampire coven or breed,
they sleep in like grubs.
They sleep in dirt. Yeah, they come out like worms, basically. So he grabs Charlie at one point and throws him into this one room to where we see Amy.
Is this when she's wearing like the white kind of see through dress?
Yes.
Yeah, but like. She's so sad.
Then because she gets up.
She's a vampire bitch.
Oh,
she gets up on top of him and then,
she literally
and
sucks.
Then she like switches on and does the whole vampire shark face that Jerry has and just ruins it.
Just like Salma Hayek did that one time.
It does. It kind of reminds me of that too. Yeah.
I prefer this because at least she still has hair in this, whereas Salma Hayek turned like full lizard head.
Yeah, that's she true. Did. Still had the titties though.
Fantastic.
True, but I mean, so did Imogen Poots here as well. I mean,
what are you saying?
Her name, Imogen Poots.
What are you? What boots?
Boots.
What the fuck are you even saying? What is this word?
So what happens is, just as she's about to bite him, Charlie stabs her with that stake. But he doesn't kill her. She's like, you didn't kill me. He's like, I know. I didn't try to. And then shuts the door and locks her in the room. And meanwhile, Peter Vincent is fending off these vampires.
He's great.
He got mauled and he's still trying to kill him, but he's like, he's fucked. He's like, oh, you're running out of time here, Charlie, because I'm turning. Because he's sitting in sunlight and he's starting to smolder because he got
infected.
Bitten. And then Jerry, the vampire, is just like, this is what, you know, you're basically done, dude. All we gotta do is just fucking wait until nighttime and then I'm just gonna murder the shit out of you. And then Charlie, he's like, you got any more alcohol to Peter? And like, just sprays himself with liquor, puts on his little fucking ski mask, lights himself on fire, and then like bungee cords himself to
it was a ratchet
Jerry.
Strap.
Mm-hmm.
Because earlier Peter was like, vampires, they don't think well when they're on, they don't think right when they're on fire. So
let alone anything else.
Yeah, so Charlie lit himself on fire and started hugging up on Jerry.
Jealous.
He's burning like, love.
Jealous.
They're just rolling around and they're all on fire and all that.
And driving around. Okay.
And then finally, Jerry has gotten so burnt that his rib cage is exposed. You see his heart. Cinematic moment in 3D jump shot right at us. The stake goes right into Jerry, the vampire's heart.
I forgot about the 3D.
He just didn't take anatomy class. He didn't know where the fucking heart was. He had to uncover the chest skin to get to the heart. Oh, that's where it is.
You know, Jerry's very old.
I was the only one born with my heart on the other side of my chest.
Oh, you mean like in that shitty movie Ninja Assassin? assassin.
Yeah, dude.
I knew that's where
you'd come
with that.
Exactly.
But he stabs Jerry, the vampire, in the heart with this cross.
If you say Jerry the vampire one more time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is his name Jerry? Yes or no?
It's Jerome.
It's just so...
Is he, or is he not, a vampire bitch?
No, it's not Count Jerry.
No, I would like you to count how many times.
Oh, okay. I can do that.
Say Jerry.
I was just expecting the title of the episode to be Jerry comma,
the vampire.
Jerry colon. The vampire.
Jerry, the vampire.
I don't want to hear about DDS. Jerry's colon.
So he stabs Jerry with this cross, and true to Peter Vincent's suspicions, it kills him, but also it cures all of his victims.
Really cool death scene here.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
He dies in a very cool way.
Dave Franco is just sitting there going like, what the fuck?
Oh yeah, I forgot they turned Dave Franco. Yeah.
And then that one contortionist one like uncontorts and just falls flat.
Well, they probably hired people from Vegas shows to be in the movie.
Now the movie ends with Charlie and Amy up at Peter Vincent's penthouse, and they're about to fuck.
Just about to fuck. I mean, the T is about to go right in the P.
They're about to fuck on a bearskin rug on the floor. They didn't even use a bed. They were fucking on the floor.
I was trying to find out what T was.
The tip.
Oh.
I thought you were going to say the P was about to go into the V.
Yeah.
But you said the T into the P, so the tip into the puss.
Oh, yes, exactly right.
I got it.
Thank you.
I didn't get
just,
it.
Just the tip.
I communicated.
Just the tip.
Some of us got it.
It took me a second, but I did get it, because I was like, the P? Oh, the puss. Okay, got it.
So they're just about to fuck, and just as they are about to fuck, who walks in?
Jerry?
Not Jerry, the vampire. It's Peter Vincent, the vampire hunter. He's like, don't do anything I wouldn't do. Well, that just means mini golf and sex. But maybe it does. I don't
know. He's so cute in this movie.
He's
yeah, I really like that. He just came back to grab his keys, and he goes, I didn't see anything.
Some Midori, probably.
But I kind of did see something. But good for you, buddy. All right, I'm out of here.
Now I'm kind of worried about, you know, maybe you won't let me show Vincent Doctor Who, because this sex deviant is on
he's fully clothed in Doctor Who.
Yes, he's always wearing a full three-piece suit.
The Doctor doesn't really have
and
sex.
And some Converse.
I like this actor. He's good.
Yeah.
He's great, yeah.
And then he also, Charlie gets a phone call from his mom, who she's out of the hospital. She's okay. She's still trying to sell those houses in that subdivision. And they're like, yep, well, okay, trying to fuck my girlfriend now. All right, bye.
I know you're having sex, honey. It's okay, natural.
And then it just ends with 3D blood splatter writing of the directed by cast, crew, and all that. The end. All right, so going around the room, pass, fail. Guido.
Pass. I like this movie a lot. It's a romp. Now, this is the fucking, you know, first date movie over here. Not some scare him away with some crazy fucking psycho bitch.
It wasn't our first date.
Okay. Well, that's not...
second or third.
Fine. But every time you guys say it, I hear first date in my mind.
That's because it was way too early on.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's why. Because it's fucked up. I agree with you, Matt. Okay? This is a pass. I liked it. Good movie.
You know, it was really funny because, you know, back to that whole thing. Yeah, she made me watch that movie.
Yeah.
Then she made me watch Tusk.
You know, oh, that no. That what movie, about Teeth? Was that in the rotation,
no,
too?
No, that movie where, you know, Justin Long got mutilated into a walrus man.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you know, the worst thing I said, I'm like, hey, you know, maybe.
Ooh, I think we should slow down a little bit.
No, I was like, hey.
He's getting regular sex at that point, please.
I was like, hey, I got an idea for a movie where John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell are two grown man children.
Refused to watch it.
And they become stepbrothers. You want to watch that?
And I would said, rather die.
I said, hey, no.
Hey, do you want to watch this childhood classic, The Mighty Ducks?
No. Do you want to watch the childhood classic, Return to Oz? Do you want to watch?
Oh, come on. It's got a closet full of severed heads. Fuck off with this.
I know.
Tammy.
I pass it. It was funny. It was campy. It was good. I liked it a lot. No. I was also saying, after it was over, I'm surprised Colin played this part, because he's more of like a serious actor.
Not back then, he wasn't.
And like, but he has played in like a lot of serious roles.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, but I was surprised that he played in such a goofy character.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I kill some of your people, Momo? I can't remember.
Another fun fact, he considers this to be his most successful role, because apparently while filming, he invited his mom to the set, and his mom met her new husband.
Ooh.
Her current slash second husband, I guess.
Oh.
And they've been together ever since.
Well, look at that. That's fun. That's cute. Beautiful. Little love story.
What a fun fact.
Allie?
Yeah, I pass it. I love the original, and I do really like the remake. I think it's fun, and it's campy, and it's not long, and Colin Farrell's in it, and I like Toni Collette. So, and I think it's actually updated really well. Like, picking Vegas is so smart because it's such a transient town, and almost everything happens at night, that it's really, really smart move. And even there's a lot of sun in Vegas, everything, like, no one goes out during the day. So, it would be easy to get away with it. It's smart for a vampire to move to Vegas.
Yeah.
So, pass.
We are continuing SVU month. So, Tammy, quid pro quo.
All right. I am picking Law and Order SVU episode from season 7, episode 3, titled Sacrifice. And the guest celebrity star is Elizabeth Banks.
Wonderful.
Who plays Jaina Jansen. She's a stripper and mom just trying to take care of her little like a family.
We support single moms.
Porn star. She's like a porn star.
That sounds like a very
emphasis similar on star.
Name to a porn. Is she a Jaina Jameson type?
Jaina Jansen.
Jaina Jansen.
No, she wears makeup.
Okay.
I'll tell you more about the episode next week.
Wonderful.
But the movie that I have chosen starring Elizabeth Banks is written and directed by Kevin Smith. It came out in 2008. Yeah, 2008. It stars her, Seth Rogen, Craig Robinson, and you can watch it on Paramount Plus. My movie is Zach and Mary Make a Porno.
Yay! Nice. I forgot it was a Kevin nice. Smith movie. I don't know why I forgot that. Considering it's got his Jason Mewes in it. Yeah, I mean,
it's a beautiful love story.
It's Kevin Smith's attempt to hijack the Judd Apatow crowd.
Yeah. Fucking hey! Movies.
Quad Pro Quo alum Tom Savini is in it.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well. Which makes sense because Tom Savini's from Pittsburgh and it takes place in Pittsburgh.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh,
yeah, because they're called the Monroeville Zombies.
Yes.
Because Night of the Living Dead was filmed in Monroeville.
Monrovers.
Fucking so good. Oh, all right. Well, we are at Quad Pro Quo Pod across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. You can suggest a theme month on our social media or by sending us an email. And please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next week, thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.